Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello and welcome to A Pint of Cthulhu Behind the Bar. Another interview, myself, Matt, and Jay. And we have Sean Anthony with us today. You might have heard him from various different voice acting jobs or Shut Up and Answer the Question. Would you like to say hello?
Hello, everyone. How's it going? Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Honestly, it's a pleasure to have you here. So, without further ado, Jay, would you like to answer the very first question?
Sure. If a pint of Cthulhu, as in the concept, would be a drink, what drink do you think it'd be?
Oh.
It's always okay. Our icebreaker.
Oh, this is a good one. So I used to work on bar a lot, so I used to love like mixing up some cocktails and stuff like that. And a pint of Cthulhu, I don't know. It sounds like it would be rum-based for me. But have you heard of a drink called the Monkey Brain?
Vaguely.
No. So, the Monkey Brain is... So, normally, it's two different densities and types of drinks that then curdle in the middle. So, normally, it's something like... a Bailey's with some Goldschlager or vodka or something like that. So as soon as you mix the two together, it then curdles and turns into an eldritch unspoken.
Oh, is that sort of like the... I think there's an alien brain one. And then the drink called the tapeworm.
Oh, I don't know the tapeworm.
It's a similar concept. It's like a... I think it's Bailey's or something similar. Like, just out in a line. So it's like a line curl... No, it's mayo they used to use.
Oh.
It was like a Bloody Mary type cocktail thing.
Okay.
And it had like a big long line of white through the red drink.
Okay, that's worth a shot though. Like, because you've got mayo, which is nice and savoury, and then you've got the tomato and everything there. That would be nice.
Still horrifying concept.
Something along that line though. So it seems quite sort of tropical. Maybe sort of like some rum, some juice, something like exotic, and then you've got something unspeakable inside that as you get to it, you're like, oh, it's awakened.
You're like a little pocket of aniseed almost.
Yes. Oh, that'd be good.
Horrible.
Nice flavour, and then punch you in the back of the throat.
Yep, yep. Yeah. And then you go, oh, I want another one.
Oh, no. So tell us a bit about yourself, you know, where you come from, what you do, kind of thing like that.
Yeah, so I am from Essex. I've had many jobs, but at this current time, I'm a voiceover artist, been in video games like Warhammer Battle Sector. That's one of the big ones that I just still can't believe that I've been part of. But Evil Wizard is another one where I was a one of the bosses, which was a mix between a metal singer, guitarist, and a Viking kind of like warrior, berserker kind of thing, which was awesome. Done some like adverts and sort of other fun little jobs like that as well, but anything that needs some sort of silly voice, really. I can't seem to shut myself up most time, so most recently I've started a podcast with a good old friend of mine, Ethan Lawrence, called Shut Up and Answer the Question. And in each episode we ask our listeners ask us one question. Actually, you've asked us we've answered a few of your questions, Matt, on the podcast, and it does seem to take us 45 minutes to just answer one question, because we can talk the back end off a donkey.
And yeah. It's always enjoyable listening to that, I must admit.
there are times when we're recording, it's like, how the hell did we even get to this subject? You've really got to rewind to try and go, oh yeah, that's where it really went off the rails.
Yeah. Our podcast is a bit more TTRPG Focused. Have you played any TTRPGs like D&D, Pathfinder, or anything like that? And if so, which ones?
I play Dungeons & Dragons. I started playing Dungeons & Dragons in about 2018 with Ethan. yeah, we've done a few campaigns. He's done his homebrew. I've DM'd a couple as well, which I absolutely loved. It's like an entirely different approach of fun to the same game, if that makes sense. Like, it just the difference between being a player and a DM is just absolutely incredible. One that I'd really love to play is Call of Cthulhu, just because it's so very different in terms of like what you are playing with, if that kind of makes sense. And there's another one as well, which is, I can never remember the name of it, but it's like someone described me, it's like the metal version of D&D, and like it's like everyone dies at some point. Porg? No.
Oh, Morgborg.
Yeah.
Morgborg, that's the one.
Yes, Morgborg.
So that one, yeah, I'd love to give that one a go as well. And that and, there's a new Discworld TTRPG that's coming out as well. So,
yeah.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
A little hoarding.
I backed that at the highest tier.
So you've got all the amazing stuff.
Oh, yes. I kept on watching that number climb and watching all the stretch goals unlock, and I was like, that's going to be a big box.
Oh, that's
same
so
as
cool.
Morgborg. If you are interested, remind me afterwards. I will send you the files for Pyroborg.
Oh, yes! That's the one that, that's the first time I heard about it. I think it was in Imgur or something. Someone was like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. And yeah, just reading, I think I've only got like the introduction PDF for it that's normally free, and I read through that, and that was really cool. And then that's then brought me onto my latest sort of hyperfixation, which is making dice as well. So at the moment, these are actually ones my daughter made, because my other ones, I don't know where I've put them, but she's made them look a bit like, I don't know if you can see it there, like a beach, so there's sand on the bottom and then the sea on top, and these ones glow in the dark, which are cool.
Dude, nice.
That's sick.
I just sent you a link to the library, and you're more than welcome to access that anytime and have a look.
Oh, thank you, you legend.
Right. Matt is a primary hoarder of all TTRPG campaigns.
Oh, it's so easy to do though. Like, well, I've tried to get my daughters into it. I've got the My Little Pony one. I thought that would be a fun one to do, like a little bit easy, because it's all, yeah. One of them was really into it, and the other one was a bit young at the time, but I've got to approach it again. But now they've both grown out of My Little Pony. You're like, ah, shit.
See, that could be a fun one to play when drunk.
Yeah. That would be a fun one.
We've been thinking of picking up the Thunderbirds one and getting blasted.
You mean,
dude,
picking
there's
it up.
A Thunderbird one?
Yes, of course you do.
Hold on. Give me a second.
I bet you've got like a whole wall of them or something like
he
that.
He does.
Aww. That is
awesome. So in the very far corner there, the little red slip you see?
Oh, yeah.
That's all to Genesis.
Oh, Degenesis is an expensive robot.
I'll let you have a look at the prices on those.
Yeah, there's a small mortgage in that corner.
You mean small? That's a full two houses.
Moving up my end of the road. Yeah, fun words.
Mate. And with the old school kind of artwork as well. That's so cool.
It's gotta be. Because I have the new stuff, like animated crap. Anyway.
Back on topic.
Back to the actual itself.
I apologize. See, I think it's just bring an element of chaos.
Never apologize for a good conversation. So, what inspired you to pursue voice acting as a career to start with?
Well, back in 2016, my then fiance and I, we booked a play a venue to get married. Literally, I think it was like a year later. And we got home that evening, and I'm normally a very shy person. So I was just like, I can barely talk in front of two people in a row, like, let alone a room full of 70. Like, what the hell am I going to do? So I just started recording, creepypastas on a YouTube channel. I'd love those, and I just thought, it's a good way to just sort of get used to the sound of my voice. So I was just sort of narrating creepypastas, writing prompts. There's one, actually, there's on my... Oh, it's going to be embarrassing because the quality is going to be absolutely awful. but it's... I did a series about a group of kids who summon a demon to be their DM. And then it starts off with the demon just like, I want to... And then by the end of it, the demon's getting into it as well. Yeah. And he's like, well, what do we do now? He's like, oh no, that's over. And it's like, do you want to play again? It's like, yeah, it's the thing with Dungeons and Dragons that sort of like, it, you start off and you're like, okay, it's a little bit, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then by the end of it, you're just sort of like, what the, come on. You can't finish like this, man. So I apologize. I might have popped then. There we go. I'll just turn
that's
myself
fine.
Down.
It's all good. I'll go through and take out clicks and whatnot if need be.
Awesome.
Interviews. They're meant to be more laid back than the actual show itself.
Yeah, so maybe
what's
the nice,
cool lo-fi. Sorry.
It's all good, Matt. We've been rehashing our old stuff recently, so we've been traumatised by the dip in quality.
Oh, yeah.
It's
season one audio.
It's something that I used to live by, though. It's like you embrace the cringe, because if you do then go back and you are going, oh, that's all, it means that you have just, you've come along so far from where you were. So you're like, okay, yeah, at least it, instead of going, yeah, yeah, that still sounds the same, you're like, oh, no, I've got to.
No. The horror of my voice GMing the very first time.
You will live in shame.
I still remember the first time I DM'd as well, like the whole time, like the moments of silence when you're trying to check stuff, and then like it feels like it's going forever, and like to them it might be 5 seconds, but to you you're like, oh no, like the flow is, it feels like it's all wrong. And oh god,
I've never been more ashamed of my lack, like I can't count is what I've learned from DMing, because I'm sitting here with like a notepad, like trying desperately to figure out health bars and level up XP costs and just dying inside.
I made such a huge mistake once, because I did my own little homebrew thing that was all like based around music, and I did an episode called The Black Parade, and it was just sort of basically they go into this like haunted mental asylum, and it was just a meat churner, so they were against 100 bad guys that were just sort of coming at them from all angles. And I was like, I could do this. I had it all on an Excel spreadsheet. And I was like, it seems like it's order enough. I've got this. And then about 20 minutes in, like one of them accidentally summoned two evil elephants. The staircase had just fallen down. And then by that time, like your whole brain is just going, why did I even try this? Like it was chaos enough as it is. I forgot that I've just got some murder hobbits here. So... But that's also the fun of it, really, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always got to be murder hobbits, all the way.
How do you prepare your voice before a recording session, then?
Awesome. Yeah. So, to warm up, I mean, I didn't realise until recently that I literally wake up and about half an hour after waking up, I've already done about a handful of voices. But... I'll start off and I'll do sort of, I call them bungees. So they're sort of going, oh, and then each time you bungee, you can go like a little bit higher, a little bit lower. So that kind of helps warm things up. They might be called sirens as well. I'll just read through thing, like if I've got a job, like a script already up, I'll start doing it in some different accents, some different voices, just to one, see which one would sound best, but two, it just sort of when doing different voices and stuff like that, it seems to hit parts differently, which kind of warm things up. It's about 10 minutes. And then after 10 minutes, if there's something that I'm doing that's got some screaming and stuff in as well, I'll then warm up that and do some more of the extreme or harsh vocals, working on like a, it's called like a different Fry Screams and stuff like that to try and get something evil and angry. And then there's also, it's quite funny because I'll do them in the privacy, because I know doing them on my own, no cameras, stuff like that, it's stuff that needs to be done. But when you're on camera, you're very aware. So there's other stuff like trying to do tongue stretches, lip stretches, stuff like that. So you're going, oh, like big, like, oh, and then ah, oh, ah, and then touch your nose with your tongue, your chin, just sort of make things, just stretch it out kind of thing as well. Because even just moving your tongue when you're doing a voice can actually completely change the sound of it. So for instance, if I'm just talking as I am and then I really want to, I'm still making the same noises, but then just moving your tongue vertically makes you really want to be a bit more of a, I don't know, working in a pub somewhere, you know. Let's get a pint round for them all, you know what I mean? But and then just let it flow and be an absolute idiot for 10 minutes and then you go, right, okay, now hit record. So
epic.
But it's very silly. And it's one of those things that you become quite self-aware when you're explaining what you're doing. Like, this is just stupid. What am I even doing?
But it works.
Well, hopefully.
Can't argue that. There you go. So what is your process for finding a character's voice when you find, when you get given one? What, how do you get given a brief, or do you sometimes get given like, just do what you want?
So I'll get sometimes I just get a very quick description. Sometimes they're just literally two lines, their age, where they're from. Hmm. Other times they'll do pictures. Other times they've even got a short FMV of the character moving. and I'll just base it around that, what I can see. So, if, for instance, I apologize as well for any accents that I do badly. but, for instance, if there's like a short dude with a big beard, my brain will automatically go to like a dwarf or something like that. So it's, hey there, man, how's you going? Yeah, you're doing the mains there, huh? But, or if he's really tall, then my brain goes to Hagrid. I should not have said that. You're a wizard, Harry. if they're small, something more of a mage, like a slender mage or something, then they'll be more, I don't know, just a bit more laid back, and then just take life as it comes, man. If they're a bit more evil, more of a necromancer or something like that, then there's just a little bit more of a hiss in there. And he really wants to bring the Eldritch Blast into your skull, kind of thing. Or even if they're really small and you want to be a gnome.
Yeah, I really like being a gnome most of the time, or something like that. I don't know.
what was one that I played recently? The little, the bird people. Arakokra?
Kink.
No.
Oh, Arakokra. Oh, Cartman. Yeah.
I was playing a smaller, but he was a rogue as well. So I was trying to get more of a, into his voice. So it was really fun. And be here. Like, I'm just going to go and try and take something from him, but be quiet. You know? And then Lynx was another one, but Lynx was just your cocky, like, I don't know, Londoner, South Essex boy, but he's all into it. But yeah, again, shut up. I'm just going to turn invisible for a second.
Dude, so, you are good at that. I find myself like, I've got to stop talking because I wanted to converse with your characters.
Sorry.
That's like, I had to like bite my tongue several times. Just like, I want to talk to you doing this.
And that's the thing I love doing, like during a session as well. Like, it will be most of the time I lose myself in, because then Ethan will be voicing his NPCs or the characters, and then we'd have a proper conversation in character, which is really fun. But then there was a couple of times where the character was doing something that was either, I don't know what it was. There was once that he was just saying something that was just down, like in D&D. In D&D anyway, it's a bit of a weird thing, but sometimes it is just kind of a... Not racist, but it is sort of like this race is just generically like, I don't know, evil, that kind of thing. And then that started like an actual argument, because even though my character or my character's race was meant to be, I don't know, like it was a neutral evil, I think it was. But I was playing then something else because I was trying to give him a character arc. And then he's like, but no, you can't be. He's like, but that's who I am. But yeah, and then the rest of the group are there, just like, is it my turn now? I'm sorry, I'm that guy, aren't I? But yeah, it's fun to just lose yourself in it.
It really sure. is.
So, what's your favorite kind of work? Character voices, commercial, narration? What's like the one you most enjoy?
The one I most enjoy is definitely character. Just because I get to play around and experiment with things. I love doing the characters, and when I'm doing a session in there, I will be like an hour or 2 hours, like that, it will just start misting up because I am just screaming the whole time. It's just so easy to sort of sink into it. But I love, like, one that it's only been in the last 18 months or so I've started doing more audiobooks. Because it's, again, you start off as the narrator, which is its own character, and then you can sort of hop between them. And I do. So a big inspiration for me in voiceover is, his name is Billy West, if you know him at all. He did Ren from Ren and Stimpy. Fry, Dr. Farnsworth. And the way that he does the way that he does his recordings, he will literally just flip from one character to the other. So, good news, everyone! Hey, what are you talking? It's kind of thing like, nobody cares about Zoidberg. Kind of thing. So it's, yeah, I've been trying to do that while doing audiobooks. So instead of having to stop, try and get it, I'm trying to just flip between them, which is fun as well. So yeah, characters and audiobooks at the moment are my fun ones.
Which then has been your most challenging project to date, if you're allowed to say?
There is one that it was very recent actually, which was also an audiobook, and it's obviously like it's one of those ones as a project. That's your job is to do the project, is to bring it to life. But then when you're going through it, the characters, they're evil, and so they start doing things, and like it would, like there's like Nazis and stuff like that, and you're going through and you're going, right, okay, and your brain's going, I don't like this, this isn't what I should be doing. But as an actor, as part, it's like, dude, this is the project. You've got to just present it as it is. You are the actor. You are bringing this thing to life. But in the back of your head, your brain is just going, but no, this isn't like this. Like, it's that kind of logical part of your brain that you've got to sort of take apart and just go, no, just sink yourself into it. You can return afterwards, like to being yourself, but you at this moment in time, you have got to be this piece of shit character. And that's I like being bad guys, like, but bad guys with a I don't know. Like, if there's
a code or something.
If there's a code, or if they're doing something, you can see behind their thought process, if that makes sense. Mm. So they're not
just
a bad
monsters.
Guy, but they're not just monsters.
Yeah.
But then there are times when they are just monsters. That's all they are. And I think it's that same kind of thing, I suppose, when you're watching true crime or like I recently watched the Ed Gein series as well, like Monster on Netflix. It's that curiosity because your brain can't comprehend how someone could be like that, if that makes sense. And so therefore, I found it challenging because my brain couldn't go there, but at the same time, my brain was going there. So the logical part of my brain was just going, "Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. It's dark. I don't like it." kind of thing. I hope that made sense. Anyway,
yes.
No, yeah, it made sense.
I'm a rambling man.
That's what we love. We love rambling men. We're rambling people in general. It made sense because you're putting yourself in a perspective you don't want to be in.
Yeah. So there's that curiosity side of things. But then, when you get kind of like if you're putting your hand a bit too close to like a hob or something, you're like, oh, and then it goes a bit too close and you're like, I don't like it. It was that same kind of thing, I suppose, in my head where I was like, these people are evil and there's just sort of no redemption to them. Although that then meant when they died at the end of the project, I was sort of like, yes! Can you make a bit less of a happy death scream, please? Oh, of course.
Whoopee! Hey, you guys!
So what equipment and software do you consider essential for your work? What's like the main things you go to?
So I would say... I mean, even though a microphone is important, I would say what's more important is the environment that you're in. As you guys have got USB microphones, I'm guessing. I mean, you've got the Blue Yeti. I know that one.
Yeah.
But it's that's what I started with, really. But with things like... like the USB microphones, they're great and they pick up great as well, and they're great for starting out. But you'll then like when you're listening back to it, do you find that there's a bit of noise in there sometimes? Like there is a bit of a when
nothing that a background clear can't get rid of.
Exactly, so. And that's what I started off with. I then took the background clearer off and stuff like that. I then moved on to this microphone after a couple of years, which is a Scarlett. I think it's a Scarlett MK4, which is then an XLR microphone, which has then got a preamp into the back of it. And then after that, I've then got the Sennheiser MK2 back here. Which is made in the same factory as the Neumann 9, I think it is. But yeah, I'm going too deep. Sorry, another one of my hyperfixations. I find a lot of the time with microphones, when you've got to, like when you, what can make a world of difference is then just having even a little bit of soundproofing, just some sort of like some foam, some making sure that you're not inside like a boxed out area, that can just sort of minimize that can minimize your echo by quite a bit, really. But again, I've now started trying to embrace a little bit of room echo. Especially when, like with Ethan and I, when we're recording the JT, like, we call them the JTBs, Just the Boy episode, where we don't have any guests. I try to embrace that a little bit more just because I find that having a little bit of room noise, a little bit of ambience in the room, just brings it to life a little bit more, especially with things like with AI voices and stuff like that. And like AI editing as well, I've found on a couple of them, it makes it a bit too quiet in the background, which I never thought would sound unnatural. But now, when it does become a little bit too quiet in the background, or it just does sound a little bit weird to me now. But then on top of that, I started out with using Audacity. And Audacity, it's free. Especially when you're just recording voice tracks and stuff like that, it's all you really need. And to be fair, it's got the best noise remover that I've used on a piece of software. I've got iZotope RX7, which does really good noise removal. I think it's just because I'm so used to using it now. Like, you get the hotkeys and stuff. It's just sort of, I'll use Audacity. I then use iZotope or Reaper as well to sort of finish things off. I do have Pro Tools. I haven't used that in a long while. Audition, I used to use, but now I've just gone completely off Adobe. So I'm just sort of like, no. That's it really, I think. I've still got my original laptop that I still use from time to time to record podcasts. That's probably about 8 years old. Can barely run anything, but if it holds Audacity and you can plug a USB into it, then yeah, it will go.
Fair.
I'm sorry, I rambled on that one as well. I'm very aware that I talk a bloody lot.
Don't apologise. Don't apologise. You're fine. Honestly, that's what we're here for. How do you handle direction, especially when you're working remotely and without seeing anyone face-to-face?
Oh, that's a good one. When I've worked with a few projects, I normally will record what they've asked me to do. They'll send like a brief with the script and stuff like that. I'll send that off and then they'll come back with notes and then I can to and fro that way. But during a live session, the way that I was trained, like when I've been doing my training and stuff, they've always said just go to 100, because that way it's easier for them to just go like, hold it back, bring it back down, bring it to a 7, because then it's easier to pull. It's easier to pull back on that, instead of if you're doing it and they go, well, can you do more? Then it's always sort of you're trying to push yourself a bit more forward. So I know it sounds counterintuitive, but even with sort of serious roles, if I try and go to almost to cartoony, it's easier for them to just go, okay, we'll pull back on the gravel, we'll pull back on the terrified screams or whatever like that, and then you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. I do try and do, like, yeah, I'm a massive people pleaser, so I'll keep going until they go, no, we're good. And they're like, you sure? You want to do one more? We've been here for 2 hours, Sean.
So, as a voice actor, how are you feeling about the rise of AI voiceovers and narration?
Yes, that's a point of contention. I've done chats and that with people, like with other colleagues and that. When it started out, I was like, well, it's a tool. If it's used as a tool, it will be helpful. But it's becoming more and more, instead of being a tool to aid, a placeholder, something like that, it's just being used. It's very obvious to me when an AI is used, and I don't know if it's because my ears pick it up or more sensitive to that kind of thing anyway, But it is very, I feel very, it's like an uncanny valley kind of feeling. As soon as you hear AI, my brain just goes, and I feel like that as well with adverts and things that use AI, not just AI voices, just anything that's AI, my brain automatically puts it as something inferior, that if they can't be bothered to invest the adequate talent to bring this project to life, then why should I pay attention to it, if that makes sense?
Perfectly.
And I mean, I understand there's that there is an area for it. As I said before, placeholders. Even if you've got an idea and you want to see what it sounds like, if you want to see what it looks like, if you like before going on to the next step, then that it's a cost effective option if your budget is being squeezed to the point that it is. But I just don't think that it should be a final project, a final product. One, it's not there. Two, it's not ethical. Three, it's not economical in the long term for what it's doing, for the amount of energy that it uses up just for one prompt is just sort of, that's again, it makes me feel uncomfortable using it more than you genuinely have to. I mean, I feel like I was such a tech kid growing up, and it does feel like I'm becoming a Luddite just because of this, but I feel like it's just being lent into and I don't know, it's just being used too much and pushed too much as well, like things that are just got AI just for the sake of them, just because it's a buzzword at the moment. So yeah, sorry, I'm bringing that down to as much as possible, because I could rant for an hour and a half on its own for that.
Oh, believe you me, I could match you in that.
Yeah, good. We're not, I'm
very
in good
much
company.
Fans of AI. We play with a few image things for backgrounds on maps and things, but for the most part, no. Everything we have is done by artists, proper artists.
There's been research that's research in like university grounds and that as well, that students that use AI, they don't feel like they have ownership over their work. Because they don't. They're like, they've just gone in, they've just asked a question, the question's been answered, and they've just put that information down and then probably put it into something else to change it so it sounds like they've written it. So like there's no sort of processing of, like, even going to, like, when we were younger, you going into like Google, finding the website, trying to take in that information, passing that information through yourself to then put it down, you've still got some kind of ownership because you've had to ingest that information and then put it back down. Whereas even that whole process has just been moved out of the human body now. So it's just
Fair play to you on that one, I agree.
Rant over, I'm sorry.
Oh no, don't apologise, dude.
Fully
it's all good.
Encouraged.
So in a lighter note then, how do you keep creatively interested in between projects?
Well, in between projects, I'm normally doing auditions and stuff like that anyway, which is kind of like juggling things around. But yeah, talking to my kids, talking to anyone, I will just flip into, accents, voices, that sort of stuff. Something that I've spoken on our podcast about is something that I've realized, well, someone's told me, it's called echolalia. Which is, I start copying either accents, noises, voices, stuff like that as I hear them. So it's just, I've called myself a mimic in the past because I'll literally just go as I'm walking. But I used to do beatboxing and stuff like that as well, just because I found it interesting. But it felt very much like, if you watched like Disney Tarzan as a kid, that he'd copy, like he'd do like the cheetah or the leopard, he'd do the gun and stuff like that. It was just sort of copying what you hear. and then like doing bedtime stories and stuff, doing all of those characters until your kids then just go, "Daddy, just talk properly." I'm like, "Where's the fun in that?" But yeah, so it's just, yeah, I'm just sort of everything. I just like to put my own little spin on things. And yeah, like, I've been trying to practice, as I said earlier, like more metal screams and stuff like that, learning how to do them safely. Really trying to do the throat, like the old, is it Tibetan throat singing?
Mongolian.
Mongolian, sorry. Yeah. Going, "Ooh, yeah."
Matt actually listens to that quite a lot.
Yeah.
The Who?
Yeah.
Yes.
The Who.
Epic band.
Absolutely. To be honest, I went down that path from listening to, you know, in June when they have that bit where they're looking at the Sada car?
Yes.
Yeah. From that point, I found a techno version of that. And I think, Jay, you pointed out the Who to me.
Yeah. Pointed out the Who to you because I vaguely remember them.
If you want to talk about metal screaming, I will introduce you to Reed. He does that for music.
Oh,
he
awesome.
Has got the proper, if you listen to some of his stuff, he has the proper roar to it as well. So,
this is hilarious to me because
kind of thing.
Yeah. Because 90% of the things we get from are like peaceful guitar instrumental high opera like classical music, and then he just going fucking off.
Yes. It's been really interesting because I've got a friend of mine who's a singing teacher, and she's always said like that kind of it can ruin your voice, and listening to it you're like, well, of course it does. And then there's a couple of people that I've been watching on YouTube. Chris Lipe is one of them. The Charismatic Voice, another. Will, the lead singer from a band called Lorna Shore. But they've been doing actual research into how it happens and how to do it safely so it doesn't hurt the vocal cords, so you can just do it for a longer period. And that just, again, it's that little bit of vocal nerdism, I suppose, that you're like, "Oh, show me what's in the voice box."
Yeah. So is there a dream role or type of project that you'd love to work on one day?
Yeah, well, I've... The dream role that I've had, that I've said before, is I'd love to be in something that is a series, like an animated series. That would be amazing. Something like obviously not, but like Futurama and Disenchanted, that kind of thing, where you can just sort of just really get into it. But it's not just like one character for one episode or like a couple of hours. You're with the character and then you're like, "Oh, okay, now they're gone," kind of thing.
It's a recurring character.
Recurring character that you can then start to put more into and understand more and stuff like that. And I think I used to love like futuristic stuff and cyberpunk, and that's another game that I'd really love to play one day, cyberpunk. But yeah, I always thought the future and the tech stuff was really cool. But now I've really started going back into fantasy again, and like into the old Dungeons and Dragons and different kind of, and the magics and stuff like that, which is really cool. Just something really different to sort of get my teeth into. But yeah, just again, it's the character work, I suppose, just sort of understanding a person, an individual, and bringing it to life, kind of thing, and then being able to have a laugh with it.
So what so far then has been your most rewarding voice acting thing?
I've got a few actually. So there was one I did a single audiobook for, which is called The Queen of Chaos series, and it was basically about a young lad who was in the back, like the backwaters of nowhere. Turns out he was one of the missing like knights that were thought to be wiped out, and he's basically been sent on a mission to find the last surviving knight, and then essentially defeat the Chaos Queen, who's trying to break through from another dimension, who is just like this ultimate almighty dragon. And then that turned into a whole series of six books. And then he's now writing another series to extend onto that as well, which would be really good to visit those characters. Another one is the Warhammer Battle Sector series. Again, just because, one, it's a big name, and I was like, holy crap. But two, being able to play like Sanguinian Guard, the Orcs, it's all about that Gacker. it's kind of like the low crusty stuff that I kind of enjoy doing. Evil Wizard was another one, just because I'm a bit of a metalhead. He was a Viking, and it was just, I was in there just screaming, sort of casting magic and lines from famous songs, and being able to do like ooh, wah, ah, ah, and stuff like that. I was like, amazing. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's those points when I'm doing them that my brain halfway through just goes, dude, you're like, you've got this now. Like this is what you wanted to do, and like, you're actually doing this for a living. So it was, amazing.
Nice. As well as voice acting, you also have a podcast. So what inspired you to start it?
Well, it started... The podcast started because I... as you probably encountered during this whole interview, my brain just sort of, it steamrolls. If I've got a thought halfway through a sentence, my brain will just go, just go, it's fine. And I've got a friend who's also a voiceover artist. And over lockdown, we just have chats. I think it was on Skype, and we just have a talk. To see how things are going, keeping up, just having contact with another human, really. And it was then a recurring joke, just like, how did we even get onto this kind of thing? Like, yeah, it was like how are you doing? And then it ended up with talking about, I don't know, religion, or I don't know, like what your dream stand-up set would be or something like that. And and then it started becoming a joke of like, oh, shut up and answer the question. And then I was like, oh, that would be good. And then we started doing, it was with my good friend Martin Wiskin. We did about 20 episodes where we did the same sort of thing as we're doing now. But then Martin would cut it up, and we'd put skits in and little comedic sort of segments. As we were doing the podcast. And then that kind of... Well, we both got very busy. And we stopped doing it in about 2022. And then last year... we had Ethan on as a guest. And he found it hilarious. And he really enjoyed it. And we'd been playing... And then for a couple of years, we were playing D&D and stuff like that. And he was like, we got to bring that... Like, you've got to bring that back. You've got to bring that back. And I was like, well, why don't you come and do it with me? And he was like... yes. And in about, I think it was February this year, I was just like, you know what, dude, why don't we do it? Like, it's like, we've been talking about it for ages. And he was like, yeah, okay. And we just sat down, and we just started recording Shut Up and Answer the Question Mark 2, I suppose, Ethan does love having, so what we did before, it was literally a randomized question, whereas Ethan, I think, does like having the control of being able to spring a question on me and then see what my squirrel brain will go with then. So, but yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's through the podcast that my brain is, I've started to hear like, you might have ADHD. I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I do.
It's gotten to the point where with us, where if one of us just starts going off halfway through a sentence or something, we'll say like, scroll.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think, let's say at least half of us have either like autism or ADHD, probably more than that, to be honest, in the podcast.
I have both.
Yay!
Hey, awesome. See, I knew we'd get as well. Oh, see? I'm just peer-reviewed.
Yeah, same here.
someone posted a couple of weeks ago, and it was so funny. That is, it really, like, I don't understand, like, why don't people just, like, if you think you've got ADHD, autism, something like that, why doesn't a doctor just put you into a room with someone who is diagnosed? If you meld with them and become their friends very quickly, then you're like, you're more than likely to be in that area as well. It's like, actually, that makes sense. Yeah.
Very much so. So, with your show so far, what has been your most proudest episode? And why?
Oh, that's good.
Pick a favourite child, quick.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, I think when we started doing the guest ones, they kind of blew me away by how different they were. It felt like at one point I was just floating the idea of maybe the guest ones should be a different podcast altogether to the others, but it's sort of like it has a bit of a juggle between the two, which we thought was good. But recently we've had Danny Wallace on as a guest, which is kind of unreal for me, just because I've been a massive fan of his books and his TV series. I told my brother that, like, he was coming on the podcast. He was like, dude, what? We watched his show when we were kids. I was like, yeah, I know, right? It's just mad. But, I mean, I had Peter Dixon, who is a... like, he's a mentor to me as well. The voice for, like, X Factor and Britain's Got Talent. But then... I mean... With the boys episode, it's kind of weird how wild they get when it's just us two. I feel like that we're egging each other on a lot of the time. But ones that we've had, like, I really like the episode of Why. I think it was our fifth episode, because all the others, they seem to be quite bonkers, but that one went a bit deep. Which was quite nice to have something different. But again, yeah, as you said, it's like, it's choose your favourite child, because each one of them is so mental. And trying to remember what part of a conversation is from what episode as well, which I didn't realise would be quite the challenge as it is. It's like, oh yeah, do you remember the time you were talking about, I don't know, Johnny Bovril from... Razorlight? It's like, yeah, what question was that? I was like, I don't know, it probably had something to do with Up, I think it was, or Never Gonna Give You Up, or Bono or something. But yeah, it's
So what's the most unexpected thing you've learned from podcasting?
The most unexpected thing I've learned is how important, like, the priorities are when making things. So, for instance, when we started, because I'm so used to doing the voiceover stuff, making sure that it sounds as professional as possible, as polished as possible, taking out breaths as this, that, other, clicks, that's how I started. So when I started up, I was like, I wanted to get it as perfect as possible. I was trying to put in some sort of soundproofing. It was just really, and it was making things really awkward, to one, try and get, like, I'd set up two microphones, but then they were bleeding into each other. And so in the end, we were then just sort of like, right, okay, take that away, take that away, take that away. And what we got at the end is what I really like, because one, it's a genuine conversation. I started out the first episode, I think I did do quite a bit of editing to try and take out bits that weren't really making sense. But then it would always be the sod's law that it didn't make sense at one part, but then you're calling back to it at another part. And so we then started running it as just one whole conversation. And then it kept the flow going instead of just being a bit jarring in places. So I then learned to take my hands off more, if that makes sense. Instead of just being that control freak of just sort of like, no, this needs to change. This sounds awful. This is this. There's echo here. The dog's barking. Like the postman's come. It's instead, it's just sort of like, no, just like just for our chaos podcast, it kind of added to the feel of what we were going for by just keeping all of that stuff in anyway. So the conversation is chaos. So let the chaos reign. Chaotic. Yeah, chaotic neutral probably be best for us. But yeah, I think. How about you guys? What's the thing that you didn't expect to learn?
I think we all came into it like fairly. We'd been blind. Twitch streaming for a little bit, so we had some very, very basic. Some very basic, okay, here's what mics do. Headphones good, bad, do not use a headset mic for the love of God kind of knowledge.
Yeah.
Although
some of us did start.
Look, I didn't have any money, I still don't. Worked with what I had. I think we just didn't expect many people to listen at first. And yeah, we're still not doing like big numbers, but it was just really weird to like notice, to look at the numbers go up and be like, oh shit, people are actually like listening to us? We gotta make this good.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you guys, like, listening, you genuinely have a love for it as well. And that's the, and like we've said it before when we've had guests as well. Like, when you've got someone who's got a genuine passion like you guys do, it is easy to just sit and listen because it might just be from. But it might be my own personal perspective that I'm speaking to, but like there are very structured podcasts out there that like I tune out halfway through, and like it's just because it seems like they're either quoting facts, how it's like how things meant to be or whatever. And when you've got someone who really cares about and really understands and wants to put that emotion into what they're talking about, the listeners just go, give it to me, give me more information. Like I could listen to it, like all night about it. It's just sort of, yeah, it's just it's just the love of it.
Yeah, we did have a thing, like it wasn't early on exactly, I think it was like season two, where we're like, okay, the big name podcast, the super successful ones, like Critical Role has its all voice actor cast, D20 has everyone's like a stage comedian, literally that is their job, they just happen to also be podcasting. What can we bring? Because we're just like five dumbasses.
Six.
Six now, we were five at the time. I think for a while we were, the number changes by the day. We were a group of dumbasses who weren't trained voice actors, who weren't trained comedians, who weren't like, there was no polish, and there's never going to be scripted or super polished or, you know, that kind of thing where if you have a talent that feeds into it, it can really help. We just decided that we're just going to be, again, a group of dumbasses. That is what you're going to get. We're not going to
try and be much more than that. I think the term, fuck it, we ballin'.
Yeah, fuck it, we ball.
Hell yes.
This is chaos.
And that's I think that's the beautiful thing with, like, especially with tabletop games as well. You could play the exact same thing with like the same people as well, like immediately after, and it just sort of like the roles change, the way the characters want to roll and stuff like that to go. It just changes each time, and you're like, oh, this is. Yeah, it's just so cool.
We had the instance. Oh, I know. No, you're about
they
found
Delvery.
Yeah, Cartman, I think three times, episode
It was him two? Twice and someone else once. It was like episode two or three of the second campaign we did.
We had to do it three times, and every single time it was different.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
We could have had the Cult of Donovan, damn it.
I'm not a sports person as well. Like, I'll watch it in company and stuff like that, but I don't really get into it. But I must admit, when someone does a roll and it's either a botch or a crit, that's what I experience. Like, that's what I imagine people feel like when there's a goal, like when your team scores. You're like, oh my god, yeah, that's so fucking good.
Yeah, the enthusiasm.
Yeah.
And equally, being a DM and having your rat bastard players roll just what you don't want them to. It feels like being the other side of it.
If you want a good recommendation for a show that you can really get into and has what you just mentioned, have a look at the Arkham Files, their newest Halloween one.
Ooh. Okay.
So they've started a tradition called essentially the Stinky Bucket, where every Halloween game has something of a stinky bucket. So the first one was like, I think, old food or something that had gone off, or fish heads. I can't remember exactly. This was about a year ago. And something was in the bottom of it that one of them had to get. In the game, it was like reaching into a body. But they had a stinky bucket. Okay.
Oh, no.
And the newest one, they had a corpse that they had to go and investigate. And one of them had to put their hands in essentially a tray of, like, soup, hot dogs, like, chunky bits of veg and whatnot. In the background, you could just hear one of them just absolutely dry heaving the entire way. And they're all laughing and laughing until they just turn around and go, wait, is he actually serious? And he is. He's nearly fucking thrown up on the floor.
There we go. That's hear the immersion. Yeah. Oh, God. That's bonkers.
So I'd recommend them, by all means.
Yeah. Not a similar horror by any means, but for the first question we asked you, we ask everyone, the what drink do you want thing, we have a yearly holiday where we meet up and we drink that shit. Or I do, at least, and occasionally rope wheelers into doing it.
I drank some of that last
year. I narrowly fucking escaped salmon-flavoured vodka because we forgot where we put the salmon chunks.
We found them at the end of the holiday and went, aww.
You went, aww. I went, no. Oh, fucking God. Oh, no. How did they get there? What could... Oh, no, no. Jeez, I've lost where we were completely.
That's all right, I've got it. So, roping back around, what kind of kind of rituals do you both have before you start an episode of your show?
We've started, yeah. So if it's a Just the Boys episode, Ethan will come over to my house. I would have done the preliminary sort of like, holy shit, someone's coming, better clean the house. And so do that for the hour before he comes in. And then I've set up everything. He'll then go out, have a quick vape or smoke or whatever it is. We'll have a bit of a chat, make a cup of tea, and then we'll try and get Milo to shut the chuff up.
You can swear.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. This is not a PG environment.
Excellent.
We would last a day if it was. We did get invited onto an interview with someone who was PG, and we fucked up. I fucked up immediately. Very quickly.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm always worried I do that as well. Like, my brain, I think it's because I do have the, like, the dad. Oi, you, shut up, go away. See, he's now here. Like, he's decided, like, he's the producer. He's trying to produce this one. But, I do have the sort of the parent kind of filter, but I don't have, he's just run off. So, because my dice making kit has just fallen on him. So, I have the parent filter, but then if I don't have visibility of children about, my brain then goes, no, there's adults about, so you can say what you want. So I've got it. Yeah. I'm sort of always looking around like, don't say the bad words. And then we'll just sort of have a bit of a chat, and then, I've set everything up, and then Ethan will just go, right, you ready? He'll set up the camera, start the recording, and then we'll continue talking maybe a little bit before we start the episode, and that's normally the cold open as well. So, but yeah, it's sort of like fly by the seat of your pants from the get-go.
Nice. How long does it take you to create a single episode from start to finish?
To record or live?
Everything.
Everything, all inclusive.
So, it started out like, so we'd record for about, so for an hour would be about between 45 minutes to an hour. But that is from like hitting record to stopping record. And then after that, I then move it from my laptop to the PC, put it through Audacity or whatever I'm putting it on, take out all the little bits that I want to take out, then put in our intro, outro, cut it all up, all the little bits for the cold open and close, and then like, so what I normally try and do as well, whoever's introducing, the other person will do the buffers at the end, just to try and keep it all even. And then after I've done that, I'll then put the video file into DaVinci, and then sync all of that up, and then I've made a video intro as well, and stuff like that, and then put that in, process that, and then I'll send Ethan the MP3 to upload, and then I'd put the YouTube video on. I'll put the YouTube video up for release a couple of days after that. But I then realized what I can do is DaVinci has most of the same stuff. So what I now do is I'll upload the... I've separately saved the intro, the intro video, and then I can just put the video, sync that up to the audio straight away, cut everything out together, put the intros, outros, and all the same other stuff that I did all in DaVinci, add my filters that I wanted to do in DaVinci for the audio and the video, and then I can just do a double shot and then just go, right, save one version of this as an MP3, one version of this as MP4 AVI file, and then just hit render both, and I can just take the dog out for a walk, and both are done then, and automatically I can automatically upload to YouTube as well from DaVinci, which kind of takes a whole lot of work out.
What do you guys use to host with? Are you RSS or are you something else?
We use Podbean for ours, just because when we started out, it was someone recommended it to us, because you can then put your RSS feed into it as well, and then through Pod, but you upload it to Podbean, and then it has an RSS feed. It will then also do Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, and stuff all at the same time with the same metadata and stuff like that. Yeah. So it just kind of keep things sort of the same, like consistent wherever it is. And before doing voiceover stuff, I was kind of like business development kind of person. So I like having consistency in brandings along all things. I know nowadays, like TikTok, they want it to be a certain format and stuff like that. I'm still very like, if you want it to look that way, it looks the same across everything, because you don't want people to be confused with your message. So
one clear message, one clear goal. Yeah,
exactly, sir.
I very much agree with you on that one. Yeah, yes, whatever.
Yes.
lovely.
Oh yes, tea and crumpets, darling. Tea and crumpets on the veranda. So, what is the best advice so far that you've received about podcasting?
Don't be afraid to enjoy it. If that makes sense, like it didn't make sense when I was told it originally, but after listening to it and sort of letting I suppose you'd call it the awkward stage to begin with, when you're trying to get used to like, well, I didn't have to because I'm a loudmouth git anyway, but like you try and get used to the sound of your own voice. You're very conscious of the microphone and stuff like that. It kind of, I didn't realize how much it bled through. Whereas if you just literally see the microphone as an ear, you talk to the microphone like you're talking to someone's ear, so you don't really want to be up like this because it makes people feel really uncomfortable. But
you could also then lick them in the ear.
Yes, there's always options.
ASMR podcasting.
Yeah. But yeah, like after a while, like we had a couple of jokes, and we weren't doing the forced laughter. We weren't trying to like crowbar in like jokes that we'd been thinking up all night and stuff like that. Instead, you just sort of like you go in, you wing it, you just sit down and enjoy the process of not only just the conversation but the process of making something as well. And it's like salting food. It just sort of like helps that seasoning, like the flavor come out more, and it stops you feeling more muted, I suppose. So yeah, just embrace what you're doing and just full on just send it.
Fair enough.
Love it.
So have you ever had a recording go so entirely wrong that you've just straight scrapped it?
Yes we did. Ooh. In fact, yeah, so I had an idea for, what one was it? I don't think it was a 20th episode, or it might have been a 20th or a 25th episode, or it was to mark the end of our Shut Up Summer, I think it was. But I tried to do something. So normally it was one question lasts a whole episode, whereas I thought, to make it a bit more different, we just watched Last One Laughing, which is on Amazon Prime. I don't know if you know about it, but it's 12 stand-up comedians go into a house and they're not allowed to laugh, but they've got to make each other laugh. So every time someone laughs, they get they either lose a life or they get kicked out, and right until the last one in the house is the winner. And I thought, oh, you know what, we could do something like that, because we're awful for laughing at our own jokes. So I thought, you know what, let's see if we can do something. And I bought some super sour sweets, some spicy stuff, and I thought, tell you what we'll do, we'll ask questions and we'll try to make each other laugh. And it started out okay. We did like 4 or 5 questions each, and we would go, but then it sort of, as I said before, like you had your own jokes that you're trying to just hammer in to try and make the other person laugh. Which it was funny to begin with, but then it just descended into chaos. This is from someone who's like openly admits my podcast is chaos, but it got into so much chaos that it wasn't making sense. And we were going with like spicy stuff and then the super sour stuff, and then like the reactions were funny, but we, like, if you were listening to it, it sounded a bit weird. And so we just, by the end of it, we were like, you know what, let's just call it a day on this one, like stop that. And then I think we've got it somewhere still.
Ooh,
it might emerge one day, but yeah, it was at the time we were like, oh, this is funny, but then it was literally the opposite of everything that we were doing up to that point. We were like, it just doesn't feel like it's a cohesive thing for the rest of the series, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
How spicy did you go?
And how similar?
Oh, what did I have?
Because if you want to know, I've done this to another show. I don't know if you've ever heard of Channel 8 Variety show.
No.
Tom and Rob, good people, really good people. I sent them the part of Carolina Reapers, and they did that on their show.
Oh.
The amount of hate I got back on WhatsApp the night after.
Amazing.
I was in tears laughing.
Oh,
so if you want to go spicy, do the Reaper.
Yeah, I remember I did do it once. It was a dried one, and I literally put a bit on my like the tip of my tongue, and it was just pain for about 25 minutes. It wasn't that spicy. I do love spicy, but it wasn't that spicy. I think I had Scotch bonnets, so it was just sort of yamming a raw Scotch bonnet. But only I only did that because we were doing like I think we were. It was rolling a D2. I think it was just sort of like odds was spicy, evens was sour. But yeah, it was like, what was the other one? It's Sour Archer. Like it was like a candy that was like, it was just trying to be as sour as possible, really. So you just put it on your tongue and you're like, oh God. But it was just. I don't know, thinking back on it, it was still quite funny, but I think it was just sort of like we were pushing too hard on it and it just didn't feel right.
Fair enough.
So, with 2026 looming in the not-so-distant future, what kind of goals do you have for your show over the next year?
That's a good question. I'd love to... Yeah, we need to push out some more for some more guests as well. It was really fun. Like every now and then, we'd have a session. We were like, oh, we could ask this person, we could ask this person, we could ask this person. But for the next 6 months, at the moment, we just want to try and keep consistently releasing one episode a week. Ethan's got a tour that he's going to be doing from January until April, and he's going to be away. So, yes, that's the one. And he's going to be part of the cohort that's just going around the UK, doing the songs from both the stage show and the TV show of Horrible Histories. And it sounds fantastic, and it's going to be an amazing time, but obviously he's not going to be around to record episodes. And I think it's going to be like something like 16 weeks. So we've got to sort of like bank as many as we can, and then try and just keep that consistent. Maybe try and get some other guests in as well. And then after that, after we finished, I think we've got our 50th episode is New Year's Day. So we've got something special lined up for that. Might do another Shut Up Summers, if depends on how awful I want to do to myself. it was very fun, but at the same time it was also very stressful. But we managed to like build up so many episodes that it was sort of like we were telling people it was taking a month that they'd be on, and then 2 months later we're like, oh, yeah, sorry, we just didn't have enough. So we were like, we just thought we'd do a double shot. But yeah, I don't know what else really. We do have an idea. Well, I've got an idea that I'd love to do if we ever got sort of like a big enough following on the YouTube channel and stuff like that. It would be a spin-off on videos called Just Shut Up and Do It. And we'd go, and Ethan and I would go, I don't know, like he's got an idea. He'd think it'd be funny to like, for the two of us to just spend a day learning how to wrestle, and then we'd have a wrestling match in the evening, or learning how to cook something proper, like cook something or do blacksmithing or something like that. Something that we both, well, he knows how to wrestle, I know, like, and we both like how to cook, like cooking and stuff. But yeah, doing something that we've not done before, and then just getting us to put like try and do it properly, if that makes sense. And with the usual chaos that we can bring when we're in each other's company.
Yeah, tracks. Obviously, you just said you're not going to be collaborating much for a while because your pals going on that 16-week trip. But if you could collaborate in the future with any creator, anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good one. That is very good. A personal one for me would be Sean McLaughlin or Jacksepticeye, just because he was the first ever person that I'd ever subscribed to on YouTube back in 2014. And he's the one, I started watching his videos. I think he was back at he was 125,000 when I started. And it was just sort of from there, I started watching YouTube and the whole bug of doing more creative things. And it was just kind of it's not a parasocial thing, but it's just kind of it was a big part of how I started watching online media. Which would be really cool. Other than that, I don't, anyone from Critical Role or the Dungeons and Daddies gang.
Oh yeah.
So
it's
just
me, Scam Likely. love that.
That was the amount of times as well I've been telling people, it's no, just listen to it. It is just these especially season one, they didn't know how it was going anyway, so it was just funny watching them go struggle through it as well.
He's into voice acting now. He's doing voice acting for Punch Up and Dispatch, and
yeah, that's so cool watching that. And especially that was his very first video. He was doing voiceover impersonations of Solid Snake and stuff like that, and watching how he was adding all those voices in, and then when he does other voices for games, you can hear those little inspirations come in, and Punch Up is just bloody hilarious. But I've watched a minimum amount because I really want to play it myself.
In the game, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a good idea to go on to the next section of things. Seems like we're talking about YouTube. You have your own YouTube channel, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yes.
What persuaded you to start doing that?
So my YouTube channel is called Loudmouth Gaming. I don't no points for guessing why, but I don't know. I played a lot of games as a kid, video games. Dreamcast is my all-time favorite console, and then sort of being an adult happens, I suppose. Games start then getting onto the back burner, and I was just missing out on so many games that I wanted to play. And I thought, you know what, bugger it, I need an excuse to catch up with the games that I want to play, so I can play the other games that are coming out that are related to these games that I also want to play. And so I just started posting videos of me playing the games that I want to play, and being an absolute bell end while doing so, I suppose. But yeah, it's funny, because I never really got into horrors when I was younger, but now I'm kind of addicted to them. But yeah, I being another screamy boy, those or rage games, god, yeah, I've nearly broken my computer so many times just for them.
Just things like getting over it and all that.
Oh, getting a fucking game, man. It got to a point, I'd finished recording the last episode. I was physically shaking. I had to uninstall it and then walk away. And I think I was done with my computer for the rest of the day. I was no, I couldn't even just sit down. It was, oh, man. Well done, devs.
So what is the funniest moment you've had when recording?
Ooh.
Funny. Rage moments or things you weren't expecting or anything like that?
Oh, I think... Oh, what one was it? It was... I think it... I'm not sure if it was PT or... It was around about that time. But I was recording playing a game, It was a horror, and I was getting into it. And so when I start out, I'm starting out normally like this, and then I'll sort of lean in as I'm getting more into it. And by this point, I was up close, and I was just sort of playing, going, what's happening? And I'm just focusing here. My door to my office is here, like just outside of camera shot. And I was just sort of so focused on the game. My wife came up to give me a cup of tea, and I think it is on the video that you can hear a knock, but I thought it was part of the game, and I was like, oh, okay. And then she opened the door, and I full on girl screamed, because I was so here, it came out here, and I was proper like, and then I was like, I'm so sorry, that was my wife, I'm so sorry. But I think it was on a stream actually, because I had people just laughing at me because I went up about 3 octaves when I screamed.
If you want a good horror, you can force Alien Isolation into a VR setting.
Yes, that's my very first experience of the Oculus. I was at EGX with my brother in, I think it was about 2016, and we were in the queue for about an hour, and you had one life, and that was the game. It was Alien Isolation, and I was going around, and I was like, this is amazing. About 15 seconds in, the alien got me, and I just heard it, and I went, oh! And I looked down, and I just saw the tail sort of like come back from, and it got me. I got like a shiver, and obviously I jumped, and the guy was like, okay, that was it, done. And I was like, I waited for an hour for 15 seconds, man. but my brother was there for about 5-10 minutes, and I told him what happened. He was like, oh yeah, the same thing happened to me, but I managed to just sort of put all of my fear into my pants. So like, he didn't jump, so he was allowed to have another life. Which he played a little bit better on. But yeah, I've got Alien Isolation, and I've got my Quest 2, and I probably will give it a go at some point. I need to work out how to record a VR setting.
I would recommend Metro Last Light if you can get it on your one.
Oh, yeah.
If you like the Metro games.
Ooh,
because
okay.
I played that, and I'm not going to lie. Well, Jade watched it as well. The amount of times I shat myself because a rat was running at me. Given in mind these things are about half the size of you, all these things coming out the corner, and all of a sudden you're just firing guns, there's no ammo left, and you're just screaming because you're being swarmed by rats.
Bloody hell. That looks awesome.
It is. And I don't know how you do it with the one you've got, but I could walk you through how I can do it with my one. To record it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I've got the I can do the screen recording plus, well, if I'm doing it, because I've got the virtual desktop as well, I can record on OBS. But the thing that I'm not sure, like, I don't know where I can record, like, spatially, if that makes sense for me. So, because normally I'm in the top corner of my screen or something. I don't know, like, where I could record in my house without destroying furniture.
You want to get the space, yeah.
Yeah, the first month of having my Oculus Quest, I destroyed 6 light bulbs in the same room. So, it was, I got myself into trouble there.
I bet. So, if you could play only one game for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Ooh. Hmm. I would say... Sea of Thieves. I think it's... I played during lockdown. My buddy and I, we played it with... Like, it was me and my buddy, but then we rotated like 6 other friends playing it. But the way that it has changed, I mean, since then to now, is so different. I've not played it since March, so I've still got it installed, so I've got to give it a go again. But yeah, probably Sea of Thieves, just because it's got it all. It looks amazing. When you're fishing, it's just so relaxing. You can go and adventure around and stuff like that. But then when you want it to, there is like really quite tense experiences you can get in there as well. And then they're always updating it, and there's the tall tales as well. So it might be a bit of a cheat for me, but there's there's loads of gameplay to put in it. And it hopefully keeps on evolving as well.
I think that's the game that half of our cast actually got onto playing, because we started off playing Drunken Sailors, where we'd just basically get drunk and play Sea of Thieves.
And fall asleep on camera.
Hell okay, yeah, so, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, we were sailing. I can't remember what we were doing at the time, but I did pass out for about half an hour on camera.
Yeah, it was Matt, Cap, and Tooken. And then I was looking for other Scottish streamers, and I found Cap for that, I think, and then found the rest of you.
Amazing. That's so cool.
If the VOD still existed, it'd be amazing to watch that back, because I could just... There was a clip where it was like, Matt. I think it's asleep, and then I started snoring.
Yeah. You slowly heard it start off.
Oh, incredible.
So, you're a chef, a voice actor, a podcaster, you have a YouTube channel where you game. How do you balance keeping motivation for so many interests?
Barely.
Good answer.
But I don't know. I think it's... I always have to do something to the point that I get told off for not relaxing. Like, to the point, like, I've had spa days bought for me, and then I get, like, just relax. And, like, they're going, I can't. But, I think I've always got to be doing something. And I've got so many things that I want to do, so I can just do, like... It starts off with like, oh yeah, I've got some leisure time, so I'll start doing that. And then you go, oh no, I'll just do it more consistently. I'll do it as a thing to try and generate money. One day, one of these things will work, but at the moment, it's just doing it for the love of it. Which is what I've... If you've got to do something, do it for the love of it, because therefore, it sort of takes the tedium out of things. But, yeah. And find new ways to enjoy it as well. Even at the time, if it annoys you because it's either new or because it's not working the right way, at that point you'll be looking back on that going, oh, okay, cool. But that was how I worked out, and that's how I then worked out how to do this, which is then how I worked out how to do this. So there's always an opportunity if you're just carrying on with it, I suppose. Well, that was a load of bollocks, wasn't it? Sorry.
No. Makes sense.
Yeah, made sense.
We're nodding along, but yep. Like, what have you been up to?
Bunch of nodding dogs. Yeah, makes sense. Yep. Makes sense. Uh-huh. Yeah.
ADHD. Game recognises game. ADHD recognises ADHD.
There we go, yeah.
So we'll wrap this up then. Apart from the fact, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show and chatting with
mate,
you.
Mate, it's been a joy.
Are there things you would like to plug before we go?
Well, yes, I suppose. If you're looking for a voice, you can always ask me to do some voices for you if you've enjoyed some of the shite that I've been saying. It is SeanAnthonyVO.com. My podcast, Shut Up and Answer the Question, is anywhere you can find podcasts, really. And it includes my good friend Ethan Lawrence, who's an actor and funny man. And my YouTube channel is Loudmouth Gaming. If you like to watch, the oversaturated arena that is Let's Plays. But if you want to watch me do it for some reason, then that's where you can find me as well. Thank you very much for having me, guys. And hopefully we should get I want to do a one shot with you guys. If you'd have me, because that would be...
I was going to ask you about that after the show.
Oh, there we go. It's on the show.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you very much again. Absolute pleasure. Any and all links will be in the description below. Go check this guy out. Honestly, his show and his work, absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
I'm looking at the camera. We don't use video. But, yeah. Honestly, thank you very much. And this has been A Pint of Cthulhu signing off. Bye. T-bye.